Invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is where we'll find our text, and we'll get to that in just a little while. It's one thing for me to stand and admonish you over and over again to look back and think about the blessings of the past year and give thanks, but if you're a little bit like me, that doesn't always sink in. So I'm going to take just a minute to kind of walk you back through some things from this past year, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you as we kind of have a little bit of a year in review to get started tonight. But last year was really, we didn't have an official theme, I guess, but everything in the preaching last year was really built around this concept of being rooted in Christ. And we spent a long time, a little over 2 months, and we preached through several messages about being rooted in Christ. And you might remember that, and we talked about the fact that the Word of God, we have to be rooted in the Word of God, the truth of Jesus Christ, and being rooted in His love, and talked about having a rooted family, and just so many different things about that. And then we kind of transitioned to the fact that when you're rooted in Christ, you bear fruit for Christ. And we talked about the different kinds of fruit that you can bear through the fact that Jesus Christ has risen again. We have hope of the resurrection. We talked about the fruit of having a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ-likeness, and all those different things. And then we talked about being watered by the Spirit. We have a great gift in the church today, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, it's so great that Jesus said, it's better for you, it's expedient for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit won't come, the Comforter won't come. And so Jesus ascended into heaven, and some days later, the Holy Spirit of God came and empowered the local New Testament church, and we have the power of the Spirit of God, but we've got to tap into that power. We've got to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and be watered by His Spirit. And you think about a plant, it's got to have good soil. It's got to be rooted, just like we've got to be rooted in Christ. But then plants have to have water to live. And if you've ever, if you're like me and have tried to grow plants, you understand, you learn the hard way that they require water. A lot of times, I figure out that they need water about the time they're dead. Is anybody else like that? Okay, yeah, some of you are not green thumbs at all. I think I'd be like a black thumb. If I try to grow something, it means sure death for the plant. So we've got to be watered by the Spirit. We spent some time looking at being who Jesus says we are when we studied, ye are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Jesus said, ye are valuable. We're disciples, we're clean, we're branches, we're friends, we're not of this world, and we are witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. We spent some time learning about walking in the light and the facts, going back to that being rooted in Christ. You got to have the soil, you got to be rooted in Christ, you got to have the water, but you also have to have light. You can't grow plants without light, and we have to have the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. And then just a little while ago, we studied the sacrifice of praise, and we studied Emmanuel, God with us. And God blessed this past year the preaching of His Word. And as long as God allows me to lead this church, we're going to make sure that preaching is central to everything we do at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. God has promised to bless the preaching of His Word. He's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And to the world, preaching is foolish. And to a lot of people who claim to be Christians, they've kind of gotten away from preaching. They think that that's old-fashioned and it's not necessary and it's not needful, it's not good. But I just tend to believe that God's going to bless what His Word says. And He promises to bless His preaching of His Word. And He blessed. And we understand the importance of teaching, too. We know that we need to teach the Word of God. That's why we have Sunday school. It's why we have our Wednesday night discipleship, because we know those things are important. The teaching of the Word of God, being able to sit down around a table and go through a lesson where you can ask questions and you can dig a little deeper, but the preaching is vital. And God blessed our services last week. We averaged 80 in Sunday school, and we had a couple of bad weather days last year that really brought that average down, but overall, God really blessed our Sunday school attendance, and we averaged 107 in the morning worship and 80 in the evening worship, so we had about as many for evening worship as we had for Sunday school, and that's a great blessing, and it really, really is a great blessing, and I want to commend you to your faithfulness to Sunday night church, and keep it up. It's a rare thing in churches today to have people come to Sunday night church, but I believe that old adage, three to thrive. If you want to thrive in your walk with Christ, you need to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And God will bless you for that. And God really blessed the services. And we averaged 93 on Wednesday night discipleship for the year, which is tremendous. We had some highs around, I think, 116. And just God really, really blessed. And you say, well, preacher, it's not really all about the numbers. And I would agree with you, except that each one of those numbers represents a soul. Each one of those numbers is the soul of a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl who came and heard the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Amen. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they were willing to receive that word with faith, it will change their life. Amen. It'll change their eternity. We had at least 35 guests on Easter Sunday alone. 35 people. I mean, it's just awesome to think. And there has been very, very few services over the past year that we didn't have at least one guest in our service. And I don't know, you may not know what's going on in a lot of our churches around the state or around the country, but that's pretty special. Unfortunately, a lot of our churches, they don't see guests all year. They go months without seeing guests, and to have guests almost every service is tremendous, and we ought to give God thanks. Even better than that, many of those who started as guests are now members. And so God is so good. Last year, so we focused on being rooted in Christ. And then we began our journey through the Gospels. I can't believe it, but it was this time last year when we began our journey through the Gospels on Sunday night. We've been preaching through the Gospels, trying to chronologically study. And we've just barely made a dent. I mean, we have just got, I mean, we're in John chapter 5. But it's taken us a year to get that far. But I don't know about you, but it's been good for me. I love to slow down and just take time and verse by verse study the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And I have been able to get to know Him better through studying, and I hope that you have too. We took opportunities to purchase some property, and we're seeking more. And if you look at this picture that we've got here, the God is just blessed. And when I came here, before you called me as your pastor, I asked you, I said, how do you guys feel about building? And basically the church said, we've thought about it, we've talked about it, and if we ever see a need, we'll do that. And so I began to pray about what God would have us to do. For months, we drove around all over this town, everywhere we could. We prayed about property. We inquired about property. We looked at other property and even really tried to move forward to buy some property in some cases. And nothing materialized. And literally one day, while I'm sitting in my office, I'm looking over a picture very much like this and satellite images of our town where Brother Ryan had printed out some plats that was some land that's available. I'm looking over that stuff and poring over it. I hear a knock on the door. And so I get up and go because I lock myself in when I'm here alone. I don't want any of you people sneaking up on me. So I got up and went out, and a man was getting back in his truck. He said, well, my brother owns this property behind the church here, and he wants to know if the church would be interested in buying it. Now, I don't know if that gets you, but when I'm sitting in my desk looking over this stuff, I've been praying about this, and somebody just comes by and says, and that's where I'm at. Lord, do we need to, if there's nowhere else to go, do you want us to stay here? Amen. And so God bless, and we were able to buy this property right back here behind us. There's 5 city lots right there, and if you look at the original city of Muldrow Platte, we actually now own a full city block. Amen. That's awesome. And so not too long after all that was done, the people that own this little rock house on the corner right over there, they called one of our members up and said, hey, would you be interested in buying this property? We want to get rid of it. And we're willing to sell it to you for less than we paid for it. Now how that went? Did I get that right? Okay, I'm just validation right there. I'm not making this up. And they called us And so we were able to get that secured, and now we own this property there, and we're in the works right now, and you can pray for this right here. This yellow box is the yellow house, and some of you have been praying about that yellow house for a long time. You keep praying about that yellow house, and if God blesses, He'll allow us to get that, and there's more to come, Lord willing, but God is just blessed as we've tried to move forward and taking those opportunities. to seek more property. And right now, on the original city plot, right here, basically where the end of our parking lot is, there is a street. That's Oklahoma Street. It doesn't look like a street because it's never been a street. It's only a street on paper. But that kind of affects us moving forward and our hopes to build. So we've been started the process on working on getting that street closed so that we can build there in the future. And those things that we've been working on over the past year. Moving on, we worked to close the street for the building. And we also purchased a new van this past year. And now we're running two vans on Wednesday nights. Yeah, we're running two vans because we like to stay legal sometimes. Legally, you can haul 15 people on those things total, and sometimes some of these guys have kind of gone over that just a little bit, but I didn't say, we'll erase that from the internet, okay? Anybody to know that? But God is blessed with the new van, but then it gets to the best part of all. We saw 17 professions of faith last year. 17 people prayed to accept Christ as their personal Savior. A vast majority of those was on door-to-door outreach. Several more that weren't sure of their salvation, we got to counsel with them and pray, and maybe they got saved right then, maybe they got saved when they were younger, I don't know, but now they have assurance of their salvation. And hey, that's just as good as far as I'm concerned. When somebody comes to the place that they know they have eternal life through faith in Christ alone. We had 24 additions to the church last year. 11 by baptism, 9 by letter, 4 by statement. We still have 3 that are awaiting baptism, but it encouraged me. I'm so thankful the ones of you that are here tonight, the ones that are in our church that God sent from other places. You know, God has made a place for you here, and I'm thankful for that, but those of you who have been in church for a minute understand, those 11 that got baptized thrill my heart. Amen. I'm so thankful. Anytime God sends us laborers from other churches, I truly, from the bottom of my heart, I'm so thankful for that. But man, when somebody gets saved and they step out and follow the Lord in baptism, man, that is what it is all about. That is the Great Commission, to see people saved and baptized and growing in the Lord. And so Rooted in Christ was what we were all about last year. We attended 2 church camps. We had a whole bunch of fellowship activities. We had a starting point for new and prospective members last year. We gave away dozens of Bibles and devotional books. We handed out hundreds, if not thousands, of gospel tracts last year. And I pray everything we did last year was to the glory of God. Amen. And I'm just so thankful for the great things that He did last year. And I am looking forward to greater things that He's going to do this year. So if you would, find John chapter 14 with me in your Bible. Find John 14 and verse 8. And when you find your place there, if you're able, stand with me to honor the Word of God tonight. So we look back, we give thanks, and now we look forward with faith for what God's going to do in this coming year. John 14, verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe for the very works' sake. A focus on verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being in your house tonight and just to be able to rejoice in the great things that you've done. And Lord, now we just look for you to do greater things. Lord, I know that you could come back at any moment. I know that today might be my last day, but Lord, I don't know. And so I want to look forward. I want to
plan. I want to dream big. I want to pray hard for greater things in this coming year. And Lord, if it's your will and it's your time, that we would have a whole year in this place to serve you. Help us to do it with greater faith, with greater love, with greater determination. And Lord, just help me to lead in the right way. Bless your church. And Lord, even tonight, if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl who's never been saved, I mean, they don't know 100% for sure that if they died right now, they would spend eternity in heaven with you. I pray tonight they would repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would call on you and receive you as their personal Savior. And Lord, I pray for all who are saved that we would just be fully surrendered to your will and that you would do greater works in our life this year. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There's a lot to say about this passage of Scripture, and just thinking about it, you know, Jesus comes and they're troubled in heart, and he said, "Don't be troubled." He tells them, "I'm going to prepare a place for you," and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and they don't understand. They, how can you go somewhere we can't go, and all that, and then Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be good," and Jesus is a little upset because he says, "Listen, have you been with me so long and you still don't know? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one." In other words, I am God. I am God manifest in the flesh, and Philip should have known that by now. He should have got that. And, you know, I think about us sometimes, and I wonder if we really get that. The way we talk about Jesus, the way we serve Jesus, do we really get it? Do we really understand Jesus is God? And when we serve Jesus, we're serving God. And when we learn about Jesus, we're learning about God. And when we live for Jesus, we're living for God. And so he just didn't get it. He said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" And then he says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." He says, "Listen, if you're not going to believe my words, at least believe my works. You've seen the things that I've done, those very things that we learned about back in John chapter 3 when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he said, "Listen, nobody could do the stuff you're doing unless you came from God." Nicodemus believed because of the works. And Jesus said, "If you can't believe me for my word, believe me for my works." And listen, friends, we can look in the word of God and we have the word of God and we can learn about the works. You believe because of both. And so we need to believe who he is. But where I really want you to focus is verse 12. "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? I can't answer that for you. And the reality is, I'm glad you amened it. I hope you mean it. But you're not going to answer it with your mouth. You're going to answer that question with your life. Do you believe? If you believe, he says, you're going to do the works that I do, you're going to do the same thing. Now, we understand that Jesus gave those men the ability to do miracles until the word of God was complete. But I want you to get something. Causing the lame to be able to walk was a great thing. Causing the blind to see was a great thing. I mean, causing the mute to be able to speak and the deaf to hear and all those incredible things that they did and even the ability to raise the dead to life again, I mean, that's great. But I got news for you. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone and having them come to faith in Christ and eternal life is a greater thing. Amen. There is no greater work in the universe than the saving of a soul. Amen. Listen, I don't care. You were born blind. You lived for 40 years without sight, and Jesus made you able to see. That is great. Amen. But if you die and go to hell, it doesn't matter. But if you lived your whole life blind and you came to faith in Christ and you received eternal life, that is the greatest thing. And you might not have the ability to lay hands on somebody and heal them. Nobody in this age has that ability. Let me just make that plain and clear. That was a gift that was for a certain period of time, for a certain purpose, and it's done. And I don't know, does something to my blood when I see these guys tricking people. Oh, and here's the attack I hear all the time. Oh, you don't think God heals people today? Oh, I certainly do. I know God heals people today. He just doesn't use people to do it. He didn't need us. He never did need us. He did it to show his power in their lives. I don't need that today. I have this. We all together now? Okay. So, yeah, certainly Jesus is saying the works that I do shall he do also. I think there's a place there for those apostles and that early church that had the ability to do those things. But I want you to notice this. Greater works than these. The greater works than these was the saving of souls and the building of churches and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the known world. The greater works was when the church was spread around the known world and they turned the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's greater works. Oh, come on now, people. And that's the works that we get to be a part of today. And you can mope around if you want to that you can't lay hands on somebody and heal them. If you're sad about that, I guess you can slap somebody in the forehead like they do on TV if that makes you feel better. Amen. Have you ever seen that stuff? Amen. Listen, if you ever, I'm sorry. If it wasn't so sad, it'd be comical. All that slapping and staggering and stammering around and all that nonsense that they do and wobbling as they get out of their chair. Listen, you read your Bible, that's not the way it works. Amen. When Jesus said, rise up, they got up. Amen. When Jesus said, see, they saw. There wasn't any of this big show. Amen. No, see, that's because they had the power of God. But the works that God has called us to is a greater work. When you think about the purpose of this church and the purpose of what we're here to do, you think about the Great Commission, you think about the great commandment to love God and to love our neighbor, you think about those things, and we can kind of boil all of it down into three main things that we need to do as a church. And that's one, we need to love God. Two, we need to grow together. And three, we need to serve others. And so let's talk about loving God with a greater love. Loving God with a greater love. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And we need to do a better job of loving the Lord in the new year. Let's talk about how we love God with a greater love. It starts with our walk. It starts with our walk. We need to have daily prayer, Bible study, obedient living, and a faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to help you in your walk with the Lord. You'll find out in the foyer, and we're going to be getting more of these, and anybody that wants one can have them. But we've got these daily in the Word devotional books. And for every day of the year, there's a Bible verse to study. There's a nice little devotional thought to meditate on throughout the day. And it's got in here at the bottom of each page a Bible reading for the day. And if you take this book and you go through it, you'll go through the whole Bible in a year and have a devotional thought for every day. And we've made these available to you. If you don't like that, we've got the quarterly devotional books that has a daily devotional reading that you can read every day. But we want to equip you with some tools to have in your hand so that you can do these things. So we see our walk. Next, we see our worship. Our worship. We love God through our walk with Him, having a daily devotional life with Him, faithfulness to Him day by day, and our worship. And we worship Him by giving Him thanks, singing His praises. Listen, why don't we have our song service when we get together? Well, it's to worship the Lord, to declare our love for Him. But that's not the only time we worship God. We worship Him with our life. You can worship God through testimony. You tell others how good God is in your life. Worship God with telling others how He saved your soul. And one of the great ways that we worship God is by giving. Now, I know people want to attack the preacher who's always talking about giving. But let me tell you something, friend. We owe Him everything. And He demands very little from us when it comes to finances.
Now, my personal opinion is the tithe is it's just God's. It belongs to Him. But I think that we ought to give far above and beyond the tithe. I think it's a shame for us to give less under grace than what was required under the law. I think God deserves us to give all that we can to Him, give sacrificially to His work. And so when we think about loving God in this new year, we want to give an emphasis on giving. And of course, we've been focused on giving to our building project. And Chase, if you go ahead a couple of clicks there, it'll bring up a picture. And this is just a preliminary idea. We're working with the building committee right now and starting to work on plans. And you can see, I love Google Maps. But this is our existing building. And what we're talking about doing in the future is putting a new sanctuary right there. We already own this property. We're working on getting that street closed. But we're talking about putting a new sanctuary right there. The past little over a year and a half that I've been here, the most we've had in any service is 130. But by the grace of God, we're going to build a building that'll comfortably seat 260 to 300 people, and it'll also have future space to expand in the future. And Brother Sean and I have already started working on plans for that and just trying to move forward. You can look at the next slide. It just kind of gives you an idea. Not a great idea, but a little bit of an idea. You can see the existing building back over there. And we want to do something greater for God. I believe the Lord will grow this church if we give Him room to grow it. Amen. So we want to worship Him. We want a place to worship Him. And we want to give God room to bless. And we need to prepare our fields for the Lord to send rain. And so let's go on to the next point. We worship Him. We love Him through our walk, through our worship, and our work. And our work. We need to get back to this. That we would do everything we do in our lives to the glory of God. It doesn't matter if you're still in school, or you work, or you're retired. Everything we do ought to be to the glory of God. Whether that's raising kids or being a kid, we ought to do everything we do to the glory of God. Love is a verb. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, love is about, it's not about an emotion. It's not about a feeling. It's about what we do with our life. And so if we really love God, it's going to show in our life. We're going to work on some things. I'm going to tell you more about discipleship in a little bit. But listen, if you really want to love God in the new year, you need to find a place of service. Maybe God would use you as a teacher or an assistant teacher. Maybe God would use you to be involved with our van ministry or helping with the food back in the back on Wednesday nights. Or maybe God would call everybody in this church to be involved in outreach. Maybe God would have you to help out with our special days. And I'm going to tell you more about care groups in a little bit, but trying to help people and provide meals for people in need and different things like that. Later in the fall, we're going to have a Love Works campaign. I'm going to tell you more about that in a little bit too. But just to say that if we really love God, it's going to show in our lives. Amen. And maybe it's going to cost you something. Maybe you won't be able to give as much time to your favorite hobby. Or maybe you might miss a few episodes of your favorite show on TV. You probably ought not be watching it anyway. Maybe you might miss a few football games. But maybe we would do more work for Jesus. And He would do greater works through us. Loving God with a greater love. Next, growing together with greater growth. We want to love God. We want to grow together. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We grow together through biblical preaching and teaching. We grow together through biblical preaching and teaching. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I get it. I know you're the Sunday night crowd. Maybe you wish I'd have said all this morning. But I want to tell you, if you want to do greater things for the Lord next year, this year, then be in church every time the doors are open. You might not think it's a big deal to miss, but I'm going to tell you, when you start missing church, it opens up a door for the devil like you wouldn't believe. Amen. It is so easy to get out of church. Amen.
And it is so hard to get back in. So don't get out. Don't quit. Just make up your mind. When there is church, when the lights are on and the doors are unlocked at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be in my place. Unless a visitor's in my place, and I'm happily going to go sit somewhere else. And I hope there is a visitor in your place. Amen. Amen. And some of you ought to be ashamed for taking up all the room in the back, so the visitor's got to sit up front. That's right. I said it. Boy, that's meddling, isn't it? I'm going to be in trouble now. I'm just going to look down at my paper for a while. This year with our preaching, we're going to focus on greater. Jesus is greater. We need to have a greater love for Christ. We need to have a greater witness for Christ. We need to have greater family faith and devotion to the Lord. We need to have a greater love for our neighbors. And throughout the year, you're going to see message after message just built around that thing, because He is greater. And He wants to do greater things. And He promises that we can do greater works. And everything that we preach about this year is going to be built around that, looking for God to do some great things. In our preaching and teaching, we're also going to continue on. We've had a few of these already, but we're going to push on with our youth-led first Sunday nights of the month, and I'm excited about that. But we want our young people to learn how to be involved in the church, in leading in prayer, and in serving, and taking up the offering, and leading the singing, and just giving devotionals and all those things. We're going to see some young people step up and be involved, and I hope you'll be an encouragement to them. Man, when they get up here and are involved, you let them know how proud you are of them and encourage them in the work of the Lord. We're going to strive to grow our Sunday school classes. Man, I'm thankful. I look back at those attendance numbers this past year, but I want to see God do greater. This time next year, if we're still here, I just hope to stand up and tell you that God grew our Sunday school by who knows what the Lord might do. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I think or ask. And I just hope He blows us away with what He does in our Sunday school classes. We've started using a new curriculum on our Wednesday night discipleship. I'm excited about that. The young people are getting fed. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that we need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Our young people are getting a systematic teaching through the Bible right now. It's going to take them 3 years to go through that on Wednesday nights. And every lesson has an emphasis on the Creator. Listen, they get fed this evolution junk in school every year. You can't turn on a TV show, or even the cartoons are full of evolutionary teaching. It's everywhere, and it is being pumped into their lives. And we're going to fight against it with the Word of God. And so I'm excited about that. We're going to be having special fellowships and try to do more of that this year than we did last year. I think iron sharpeneth iron. We need to spend time together encouraging one another in the Lord. And we're going to do some special fellowships in conjunction with those first Sunday nights. Of course, we got our ladies' meetings, our men's breakfasts, and we have youth events and special days. We're going to have Starting Point again this year. Twice. We're going to plan on having that twice this year for our new and prospective members, and just trying to, people who are new in the church or thinking about joining the church, trying to let them know who we are and what we're all about. Something I'm very excited about is our continued one-on-one discipleship. And you saw that on your calendar. This is the continued discipleship. Way we're going to start this is here in a few weeks. We're going to have a sign up over the next few weeks if you want to be a part of this. This is about a 13 or 14 week of lessons, and it's just foundational truths of the Word of God to get somebody grounded in the Word of God. I'm going to take that class on Sunday evenings at 5 o'clock, and we're going to go through this, and whoever's willing to do that, after that's over, then we're going to move on, and it's going to be a one-on-one discipleship. Listen, preaching is absolutely vital. Class time is great, but we have to work better at building relationships with people. And here's what's going to happen. Brother Ryan is going to go through this course. I don't know if he knew that or not, but Brother Ryan's going to go through this course. And Brother Ryan's going to go through this, and he's going to study it. He's going to have his book all filled out. And then after that's done, Brother Ryan's going to find somebody new, and he's going to say, hey, I'd like to go through this discipleship material with you. And so Brother Ryan and Joe, is there a Joe here? Okay, well, one day there's going to be a Joe here. and Joe, Brother Ryan's going to sit down with Joe, and maybe Joe's not even saved yet. But guess what? There's lessons right in here about how to be saved. Well, that's a great idea, isn't it? And somebody that comes along wants to know a little bit more about the Bible and about God and about these things, Brother Ryan's going to sit down with them. And for about 13 or 14 weeks, he's going to sit across the table from them. They're going to work through these lessons. They're going to learn the truths of the Word of God and get founded. That person's also going to build a relationship with Brother Ryan. And then when they come to church and I stand up here and say something crazy that they find offensive, they're going to say, "Hey, Ryan, what in the world is Brother Isaac talking about? Why do you say that about Joel Osteen?" And Brother Ryan's going to say, "Well, I hope Brother Ryan's going to say, well, Brother Isaac loves us enough to warn us against false teachers." Amen. And he's going to be able to explain to them, and instead of them just getting mad and going home, just maybe because that relationship has been fostered, they'll stay. And so they've got a relationship built around the Word of God. I wish I could build that kind of relationship with everybody that walks in the door, but the reality is I can't. And we need to share this work of discipleship, training others. We need to just take and train others in the Word of God. And I'm excited about discipleship. I hope when the sign-up sheets are put out next week that you'll put your name on there. You'll be involved in that. And I'm just excited about what God will do. Listen, it's going to take a commitment. You have to get here. You're going to have to cut your nap short on Sunday afternoon. It's going to take a commitment. But if you take a greater commitment, God will do a greater work through your life. Lord willing, we're going to have a spring revival again this year and our fall missions conference. I'm so grateful for what God did through those events last year. I'm excited and looking forward to planning those again the coming year. Man, I'll tell you, spring revival was great. And the missions conference was even better than I could have hoped. And I'll just tell you this, as great of a blessing as the missions conference was to me, man, our church was a great blessing to those men. And they have stayed in contact with me. Several of them continue to text me or check up. And every time they tell me what a blessing missions conference was to them. Man, that ought to thrill your heart. Amen. That we could be an encouragement to those men in the work of the Lord. So growing together through the Word of God. So loving God with a greater love, growing together with greater growth, and lastly this evening, serving others with greater ministry. Matthew 22:39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I think we're pretty good, relatively speaking. I think we've tried to keep a focus on the Lord and worshiping Him. I think we've done pretty good at focusing on the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I think that's been given a premium in our church, and I'm thankful for that. But I am convicted that we must do a better job serving others. Amen. We've got to have an upward focus. We've got to have a vision to see the Lord. We've got to have an inward focus. We've got to focus on being healthy and strong in our relationship with Christ. But we have got to start looking outside the doors of this church. There is a community that is dying and going to hell all around us. Amen. We have a community that is filled with the filth and darkness of sin all around us. There is wickedness in high places in this place. There are people who are desperate for the gospel of Jesus Christ and desperate to know the love of God. And let me tell you something. I'm no longer satisfied with letting somebody else take care of it. It's our job to show the love of Christ to others. Serving others with greater ministry. We had year-round weekly outreach last year, and by the grace of God, we'll do it again this year. Every week, there will be a time appointed that we will meet together, we'll get a stack of gospel tracts, and we'll go tell somebody about Jesus. God has blessed that. 17 souls were saved, and who knows what else God did that we don't know about. You think about that? Since I've been here, we've handed out thousands of these. By the way, went to McDonald's the other day. Because that's what I do. Went to McDonald's and right over here in Roland, and I got to the first window, and the girl took my money and gave me my change or my card back and everything, and I handed her one of these, and she said, "Oh, thank you. I got one of these last night." And it was all I could do not to shout. Because it wasn't me. I wasn't there last night. It was one of you guys. You were there the night before I was, and you gave her a gospel track, and she remembered it. And you know what else? When I pulled away, I looked back, and she was looking at it. Amen. You don't know what God's going to do. Amen. I got to the next window. She wasn't as excited to get the track, but that's okay. She took it anyway. Amen. You got to hand it to them quick so they don't know what it is sometimes. Year-round weekly outreach. This year, we're going to put a new emphasis on seasonal gospel tracks. Man, I want to equip you guys. We did a few different things last year with invite cards and different things. And this year, we're probably not going to do very many, if any, invite cards. What we are going to do is a lot of different gospel tracks. As a matter of fact, coming up here in a little while, we're going to have some Valentine tracks. And we're going to have tracks that are built around Valentine's Day. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to stack them up out here. We're going to let you send them to school with your kids. Yeah. I know you want them to take Frozen Valentine cards, but why not take a gospel track instead? How about that? Yeah. What's that, Olaf? Yeah, he loves warm hugs. He does, but nobody loves like Jesus does. And we're going to send those gospel tracts with the kids, and you can take them to work, and we'll hand them out on outreach, and we'll invite people to come and know what real love is. Easter, we're going to have in May and June, Lord willing, we're going to have a focus. The messages are going to be focused on the family, trying to help our families become stronger, and we'll have some tracts that go along with that that you can use. We're going to have some patriotic tracts to use multiple times throughout the year for Independence Day and Memorial Day and Veterans Day and those types of things. We're going to have our Halloween tracks redone, and I love our Halloween tracks, man. You can give people candy and a track. I just think it's great. Any excuse we can have to put tracks in people's hands. And your kids can take those to school until they tell us not to, and then you can keep doing it if you want to. I don't care. Really, I don't. They really can't stop you. Thanksgiving and Christmas, so we're going to have seasonal gospel tracts. We're going to have special days with our Easter services and our spring revival. Of course, Mother's Day, Independence Day, Missions Conference, Thanksgiving, Christmas. We're going to try to have a lot of big days this year and give you lots of opportunities and excuses to invite your family and friends, excuses to go and knock on people's door again. We're going to continue with our nursing home services like we've always done, and I'm praying that more people get involved with that. We really need to be encouragement to those who are there at the nursing home. I think that they get forgotten. Many of the people we see there, their families never come see them. And it can be a great blessing to them. I told you I wanted to talk to you about care groups. Care groups is something we're going to organize this year through our Sunday school classes. We have three adult Sunday school classes, the young adults, the middle adults, and the not-so-young adults. Brother Steve, God bless you. And we're going to organize our care groups through that. To try to make sure that we don't let anybody slip through the cracks. If there's a death in a family, we're going to work those care groups through the Sunday school class. If the Sunday school class can't handle it, we'll get more help and more involvement. But maybe we need to make some food to take to a funeral, or maybe somebody's house burns and we need to take clothes or whatever it is. We want to make sure that we're taking care of people and loving people in the name of Christ. And then this fall, we're going to have a Love Works campaign. And we're going to try to give the church a lot of different opportunities. I'm going to tell you a lot more about this later on, but I'm very excited about this. But we're going to make our presence known in Muldrow like never before. We're going to try to do all that we can to help people in need. And it may be projects at somebody's house. Maybe it's an older couple. We might go there and cut limbs and rake leaves, or we might paint their outside of their house or fix their ramp on the outside of their house or whatever it is. We're just going to do a lot of different things to try to help people in our community. We're going to try to reach out to our school, to our teachers and the students there. We're going to try to reach out to our city workers and first responders in our community. A lot of different projects are going to be going on. We're going to have different opportunities for you. Nobody's going to have to do everything, but everybody can do something. Amen. And all of that's going to be, of course, coupled with a whole bunch of specially designed gospel tracts. Amen. So we can share the gospel with our community. I know that's a lot, and there's a little bit of preaching mixed in there for you, but I want to share with you my heart. I want to share with you the things I believe God would have us to do in the new year. There's a lot more that I can say, but I just want you to go back to verse 12 as we get ready to close tonight. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And we can busy ourselves with a lot of work. But I want you to get it. Look at the verse. When you believe in Jesus, when your faith is in Christ, then the works that you do are his works. Do you get that? If we're just doing what we think and what we want to do, and we're not directed by Jesus and faith in him, we're not going to accomplish anything. But when it all is centered around faith in Christ, then we can do the work that he wants us to do. And we can do greater works than these. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would. Loving God with a greater love. Growing together with greater growth. Serving others with greater ministry. Loving God, growing together, serving others. These are the things that we need to do as a church. And God wants us to do greater things in the coming year. But it all begins with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There might be somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior. Listen to me, friend. Jesus Christ loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. Without Christ, there is no hope for eternity. If you have never repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ, you do not have eternal life. You have eternal damnation. But you can have eternal life if you'll repent and believe. And there might be somebody here tonight, might be a young person that's reached that age of accountability tonight. You know you need to be saved. Most of you are saved. And God's calling us to a greater service for him in the new year. And I just want to encourage you that you'd make a commitment tonight. Maybe where you stand, maybe you want to come and kneel at the altar tonight. But I hope with all my heart that every person here would just say, Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life already. But God, I want you to do so much more in my life this year. If he's touched your heart tonight, will you come while we sing?